Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Build up in this song, I forgot. It's fine.
This is just proof they need to give all of them alcohol again.
Yeah.
It's 8 minutes and 46 seconds, this song.
The whole song?
Yeah.
I forget how long it is before they start singing now.
Yeah, it's probably, I think it's like a minute and 40, yeah. Something like that.
It keeps going. Good. I like Metallica. I wasn't really a huge Metallica fan growing up. I was more into Megadeth, Pantera, Skid Row. You know what it was? It was just that everyone liked Metallica, and as a kid, when everybody liked something, I was just like, meh.
Went the other way?
Yeah, I don't want to fucking like what everyone likes. You know?
Yeah, I was usually like that, but I like Metallica more than Megadeth. I was more of Metallica.
I mean, you were right.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That was just my personal taste. But then when Pantera came, it was like, oh, shit, it was a whole other level.
Yeah, that was like, it was real fucking heavy. Pantera, when we first heard Pantera, they were touring with Skid Row. 1992 Skid Row's Slave to the Grind.
Slave to the Grind, yeah.
And it was Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power. They were supporting Skid Row, and my mom would not let us go to it. My mom, who was... I mean, the biggest violent piece of shit in the world, like, didn't do anything good for me ever. And then, on top of all of it, she kept me from going to see Pantera and Skid Row in 1992, which would have been so fucking badass, in the guise of being a good parent. But the reality was that bitch didn't want to spend money on tickets.
How old were you? Were you, like, 9?
I was 10.
Okay.
People don't realize I was a fucking real-ass dude always.
That's where she drew the line, though?
She drew a line.
On Megadeth.
She punched me in my face violently for spilling a glass of milk at that time. But you can't go see Pantera and Skid Row.
What was it, the end of the milk? I mean, was it the last glass that she was using for a coffee?
No, she just didn't want to clean. She just really didn't want to fucking clean. That's really what it was, you know?
Well, she probably thought the show was going to be violent. Like, she's going to wind up in a pit with you when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
She didn't know. She probably didn't know, you know, that the whole place isn't going to go berserk. It's not a one big mosh pit.
Well, I mean, it's an arena. Pantera.
Well, if you're up in the seats, you're fine. When I take my kid, I put him up. We're up in the seats. We're not on the floor.
Of course. How old was your kid the first time he went to a metal concert?
5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who'd you see?
Zach Wilde.
Oh, all right.
But he's seen Slipknot 3 times already.
That's
Lamb of God twice. Manson twice.
Badass.
Yeah, he loves it. Sabbath, Ozzy.
See, my kid doesn't like metal music. He's a little puss. Like, he likes Sunflower from the Spider-Man soundtrack. This is one of his favorite songs.
Is that Post Malone?
Yeah. He loves this. So you're listening with your kids Slipknot, and Lamb of God. Lamb of God, it's so badass. I lift weights to Lamb of God. That's some shit where you're just like, I just want to throw metal around.
I know.
I just want to fucking celebrate the white race while I listen to these fucking heavy riffs, you know. And my son, and he loves it. He walks with a swag. It's good music, but it's just not, you know, you want your kid to be a fucking badass.
Yeah. See, my son only likes that Post Malone song when Ozzy sings. He goes, I only like it when Ozzy comes in and sings. I hate the rest of the song. I'm like, that's good.
You
that's good
parenting. Your kid to be a fucking good, strong white man.
I try.
You really.
But he's going to get, as soon as he wants to go after pussy, which is, you know, he's 9,
coming up, yeah.
Like probably 3 years, he's going to turn to hip hop.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to lose you for a few years. Go out and get laid. You know, because you really can't go to a party trying to pick up chicks talking about Slipknot. No, it's not going
to
work.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, those chicks are probably, it's just a different type of chick.
Yeah.
You know, so.
If you like fingering chicks who won't take their hoodie off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Metal chicks are, they're sluttier.
Yes.
I think for the most part, but I think maybe it's only because hot, popular chicks were never willing to suck my dick. So maybe in my mind, those girls weren't slutty. I was like, yeah, those bitches are just prude.
Yeah.
Like, no, they were sucking fucking college dudes' dicks. And like, you know, they were out there doing their thing. I just fucking, they were so cold to me. But a nice fat, nice fatty metalhead Coffee. Chick. Just fucking, you know, she's...
A few razor blade cuts on the thighs.
Yeah. She's got a fucking a self-made lip ring. Got fucking...
You're just describing me.
Yeah, exactly, actually. Got safety pins in her eyebrows. Those bitches will just...
Yeah, you don't have to take them on three dates to get in their pants.
No, not at all.
Right in the parking lot, it goes down.
Yeah, it's also because sort of like in that...
You get the studded belt imprint on the back of your wrist.
Yeah, and like the heavy metal and like rock culture, like, you know, that's... I don't know, it's like... It's fucking cool. It's all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's like, it's built into it.
But that other side with like the Post Malone side, they're slutty as shit now too.
I don't know, man.
I think they act like they are. As popular far as girls, the metal crew.
What were you like in high school, Brian Six? By the way, welcome to the Realist Podcast. Brian Six is here. Jim Florentine's here. International superstar Zach Amico. Great show plan today. We just went right into it. I like it.
Yeah. I was all over the place with music, always. But like... I liked Beastie Boys a lot when I was younger.
We know.
But I also liked metal. You know what I mean? Like, I got into the Misfits when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10. I got into fucking Metallica, Megadeth, Pantera.
Did you go to a really big high school?
It wasn't big. It was normal, public.
Yeah, you know? I went to a really big high school. So it was like out of a high school movie. Like, every lunch table was a different clique. And, like, the popular kids were not into me. I was like, I was known by all of them.
Yeah.
Just because I, you know, I'm a loud mouth and I don't shut the fuck up. But all those popular kids were like in a whole other world. I didn't even I thought those kids were like just good kids. That's what it was. But they were all just fucking and sucking each other. They just didn't want anything to do with fat goth kids.
Yeah, I was a metalhead. Like, I went to public school first 2 years in Jersey, and my family moved to Florida, and I got put in this private school, all rich kids, daddy's Mercedes, and I had long hair, you know, walking around with Ozzy on my knuckles. They wanted nothing. I had no friends for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but when I was in public school, my friends, you know, half the class would go to every concert. We'd be in the class the next day all wearing a concert t-shirt. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we're a bunch of fucking druggies and alcoholics at, you know, 9th, 10th grade, all in the metal, like the whole school was.
Really? Right. Yeah, I didn't do any drugs or anything that until later on. Even that whole world was sort of weird to me. So I'd hear about kids in like the 9th and 10th grade smoking weed, and I'd be like, whoa, those kids are fucking
crazy. When did you start smoking weed?
I was 17.
Really?
Almost 18. It was the day I went to go see Snowcore 99, or 2000. Snowcore 2000. It was System of a Down, Puya, Mr. Bungle, and Incubus.
About that.
Puerto Rican metal, doggy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I know.
That's fucking, yeah. It was great. They got really stoned. It was the greatest time ever, dude. Going to see like your favorite band live. And it was with my best friends. We had smoked. We'd never smoked weed before. We just laughed so hard that it was like, had I just sat in a fucking room and fucking eaten crackers, I may have not gotten into weed the same way that I got into weed. But that night was so incredible. I went to go see this concert and I just never seen music that way. You know, I never like, you know, you're there. Your head is baked. You're sober, right, Florentine?
No.
Oh, you're not sober.
No, I don't smoke weed, but I drink.
I don't know why I thought you were sober. I just figured every guy from fucking the 80s that did comedy fucking...
I didn't start in the 80s, but...
every Jersey road animal.
Every fucking... Yeah, I don't know. I just never... Because I always just drank enough to get a buzz to talk to chicks.
Yeah.
I never drank to get drunk or anything like that. I guess I was shy, so I wanted to set a few beers and a couple shots of me. Then I had some balls.
That's it.
To say shit to women.
Yeah.
So that was all. Still to this day, that's why.
You used to get a lot of pussy, though, right, in comedy?
Yeah, well, yeah, I had long hair when I first started. So it was still kind of in the, you know, early to mid 90s, especially like in Pennsylvania, because they were like 6 years behind of what was really going on. So I did a ton of gigs out there.
Yeah.
So it was almost like my college years. Like, I just went to a community college 2 years.
Yeah.
Right by my house. So I didn't really go through that whole college phase. But then once I started doing comedy.
It's so funny because, like, now it's like, I'm sure, like, people are still pussy hounds. But, like, nobody really talks about it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like everyone's so afraid of like being Me Too'd. Everyone's so afraid of like, it's like, I don't know, man. I'm trying to fuck. Am I crazy?
No.
Am I crazy when I go into a town, like I scope out the crowd? I'm like, all right, where's the fucking single chick? I don't, I mean, this is half the fucking reason we got into this shit.
My theory.
Why do we have to deny it? We all, if you're single and you're a dude, you're trying to get pussy. I don't know. There's, if a guy who's denying it is a fucking criminal, probably.
Yes.
Anybody denying that is a dangerous man.
When I was in college, from listening to Jim and Bob Levy talk on the radio, we all got the idea to throw the chairs out of our dorm so that when we brought girls back, they had to sit on the bed.
Nice.
Because you talked about how when you were on the road.
Yeah, we take all the I throw my suitcase on the chair across the room because as soon as you bring a girl back, she's sitting on a chair across the room. I'm on the bed. And
or like, the host would have everybody's furniture stacked. So,
whoever the MC was, we'd take all the furniture out of our hotel room and put it in his room. I remember one time this dude's like, hey, man, my toilet's overflowed. I'm like, so what? Why are you telling me? He goes, because you work here. He thought I worked here because I was bringing chairs out in the lobby and then the next guy's room.
That's fucking brilliant. That's...
But it is because they. But once they get on the bed, they're fine, and then you're gonna hook up with them.
Yeah,
but it's a weird awkward. Like, hey, you want to come over here?
I know. Then there's that weird moment, dude. It's
so if they got nowhere to sit when they come in the room, they got to sit on the bed.
That's a hard close.
That's a hard close if they're sitting in the chair.
Well, it's eliminating a step.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. It's eliminating a step, and it's not like you're not gonna assault them once they get on the bed. But it's definitely eliminating a big step. Yeah.
Even I'm pretty ballsy with chicks, and like I'm pretty confident in general. Like I have been for a long time. But there is that moment of where you're like, all right, what the fuck? She's sitting on the chair. It's like, I want to hook up with her. I got to say something. I have to like, you know, and it's like, how do you even like get in there? Do you make like a little joke about it? Do you like, what do you do? And you get this like feeling in your neck almost like this like tightness, like, ah. And I think most guys, or I say guys that don't go for the shot, they just like that feeling just goes, all right, it controls them. They back off and they go,
shut it down.
Yeah, shut it down completely. Every time I have to literally make a conscious decision, go fuck you feeling, and then go for it.
Yeah.
And most of the time it works out, but when it doesn't work out, it is.
Because guys with no experience think that woman's not interested. Like, oh, she's sitting over there because she doesn't want to hook up. So then he's like, all right, I'm out. Nothing's going to happen tonight. And then he goes, all right, well, I'll see you later. Nice meeting you.
Yeah. And we all know if she's in your room, she wants to fuck.
She does.
And if she says no, it doesn't matter because she came to that room, right, Jim? She came to that room. Why would she be there in the first place? That's what I say. It is kind of true, though. I mean, you can't really say that anymore, but it's like...
What?
If I had a daughter, I'd be like, never go... If you go back to a man's hotel room, you suck his dick. You don't get to fucking just go in
at
there.
At least a hand job.
Just something.
You got... Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, my... Lewis's birds and bees combo with his daughter would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That's how you'd open up, I think.
Maybe.
It's like, you better fucking suck his dick.
Listen. Did he buy you dinner? Did he pay for everything? Okay, then. It's your duty. No, I'm pretty new school when it comes to shit like that. I have a niece now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she loves me. It's so funny because I didn't care about my niece at all up until this Jamaica trip. And then I took her to Jamaica and she fell in love with me. And now, like, if somebody fucking even looked at my niece, I'd kill them.
Mm.
I would fucking kill them. But before she was nice to me, that, like, being a blood relative meant nothing to me. She was a stranger.
How old is she?
She's 4.
Oh, all right.
4 years old. Very fucking strange with me the whole time. Trying to get her to love me. Spend so much money on Christmas. All these gifts. Trying to buy her love. There she is. Look at her. So cute. She fucking loves me now. Loves me so much. You like that, Six?
What?
You like that, you fucking pervert? Piece of shit?
Dude.
You like my niece?
Bring that back up.
You like my fucking Lily? She's 4 years old, you fucking Philly scumbag.
Yeah, his name's
scumbag.
Brian Six. 2 more years, Brad.
Right? Do you think that's my real last name?
Fucking
come on.
Piece of shit. Make me sick.
My whole theory with comics is like, well, you got in the business because you wanted to get laid. You were socially awkward. Mm. No guys, usually comics when they were in high school, you know, college, weren't getting laid because they were the quiet ones. Yeah. You get into comedy, all of a sudden women are attracted to you because you're on stage. It was almost like you didn't have health insurance, but that you got hot chicks that were way out of your league.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
Your health insurance until you started making some real money.
Yeah, and it also like it sort of puts it into perspective. It just sort of becomes like, okay, and I don't harbor any resentment for it. It's like, yeah, chicks like guys that are on stage. I completely get it. There was a chick the other night at Legion of Skanks. There was a guy hitting on this chick the whole fucking show. The whole show. I mean, it was like he was obnoxiously hitting her. I was like, good for that guy. As soon as the show ended, she fucking beelined right for the table of comics. And he just sat in the background like this. And I was like, oh, dude, you're going to have to go. You can't compete in that environment.
But that's almost like old, like, caveman shit that they see that that guy controls the room. That if everybody's looking at him,
yeah,
that's it.
And that's the thing for guys. Look, you don't have to be a comic to do that, but you have to fucking be the man. If you're trying to get pussy, you have to be the man, right? I'm not saying that you can't be a beta male or whatever and get pussy, but if you're trying to fuck some chicks, all you got to do is put yourself in a situation where you are the man and you tap into their fucking primal instinct of wanting to suck the man's cock. That's what they want. They want to suck the man's cock.
Yeah.
Right, Shannon?
I mean, I do agree.
Now show them them teeth.
I do agree with what you're saying.
I know.
If the guy is doing well, like doing something really well,
it
changes everything.
You want to just be in your element. This is why, like, you know, for me, it's, you know, printing t-shirts. If a woman sees me printing a t-shirt, ooh, she will fucking jump my bones. McCusker's a father now?
Yep.
It happened.
Had 2 days ago.
That's incredible.
I got
text him.
Slow picture. Everybody's doing well. Head of hair. It was funny because we were joking about how his baby already has a better head of hair than Shane.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. But yeah, he's good. New father. He's pumped. So yeah, shout out McCusky.
Shout out McCusky. I'm very happy for those guys. That's incredible.
Yep.
What's it called? Did Shane show you the pictures that we sent each other?
Of
each other's asses?
No, missed out on them.
It's the fucking funniest thing in the world.
Really?
So I sent... I came up
with him last night from Philly, and he did not fucking show me these ass pictures.
Here, I'll show you really quick. We showed them on Legion of Skanks, so it's not a big deal. I don't think he'll be mad at me now. So essentially, what happened was I was flirting with a female comic, and to be funny, I sent her a picture. Hold on, I gotta show you the actual picture. In fact, you know what? We'll do plugs really quick while I look up this picture. Shannon, plugs. Let's do it. Jim Florentine, what do you got to plug?
My podcast is on Barstool Sports every Monday and Thursday. Everybody is awful. Get it on barstoolsports.com.
Fuck yeah. Brian Six.
This weekend I'll be at Helium in Philly. Open up for Francis Ellis all weekend. And then, March 19th through the 21st in St. Louis with Big J. And then the following weekend, Skankfest. South.
Hell yeah, you are, bro. You excited?
Very excited. Just booked the fight. I'm excited. I just found out that the venue, Jim and Zach were telling me, the venue is kind of in the ghetto, which is fucking sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is it in the ghetto?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there. I know it's in like a neighborhood. I did a show there before. It's like in the middle of, like at the end of a street in a neighborhood.
It's not, don't say, it's not in the ghetto.
My perspective of the ghetto
is very different.
It might be their version of a ghetto, which is like.
There's a bunch of really trendy, big barbecue restaurants there. I mean, within one little area.
And there's one thing white people love. Barbecue.
Well, no. I'm telling you right now, I've done Secret Group multiple times. It's all white people there. I don't know what people are talking about.
But it is in a neighborhood. It's almost like at the end of a street. Like houses are right next to it, which is fine, though.
I have no idea. All I know is that I fucking love the venue. It's incredible. And the food in the area is incredible. I mean, I walked around that area. When I go there, I don't go anywhere else. I stay right there, and then I just walk around the area. I don't think there's... A few people hit me up being like, hey, dude, I heard it's kind of a shady neighborhood. Is it weird to walk around? And I was like, I live in Harlem. Yeah. I have no fear of fucking some fucking little hipstery area in Houston. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Zach.
Twitter and Instagram. Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network. Zach Miko's Midnight Spook Show. Every Friday at midnight. Comics watching horror movies. This week we're watching The Evil Dead. And me, Ian Fidance, and Scott Chaplin will be at Laugh It Up Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie this Saturday the 7th. Come on out.
A lot of stuff coming up, guys. I'm not on the road until after Skankfest. I'm in town now for a little bit, guys, so please come and check me out in New York. I'm going to be posting some dates on my social medias. Yeah, Skankfest is happening. Houston,
I'm psyched for
Texas.
Skankfest, man.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be nuts, dude. We've never done it out of the state. The energy surrounding it right now is fucking crazy. Skankfest.net is the website. Grab your tickets right now. Do not wait anymore, guys. We're 3.5 weeks away from Skankfest. We're going to sell out any day now, and you're not going to be able to fucking come, okay? We have the craziest lineup in the history of comedy festivals. I don't give a fuck. Go watch Netflix is a Joke Festival. That's fine. They're incredible. They have a great lineup, too. It's not what Skankfest has, okay? Okay, dude, look, go fucking see Chappelle and Chris Rock spend $80,000 on two tickets and, you know, a venue. One venue's 45 minutes away from the other. That's fine. We're talking about 120 of the greatest comics in the world all partying together for 3 full fucking days from noon till 2 a.m. nonstop. We are you. We are the people. You are us. We are one. It is one fucking crazy dance and you're a big part of it, okay? Come out. Skankfest.net is a website. Everybody will be there. I'm not going to even sit here and just list the lineup. The lineup's crazy. Right now, go to the website right now. Just look up the lineup. There's not a fucking funnier place on the planet than Houston, March 27th to 29th. Go grab your tickets right motherfucking now. Louis J. Gomez presents LouisJGomez.com, the special. You can grab it there. And also tickets from myself and Kurt Metzger. We're going to be adding some more dates, especially on this little break. We're going to be booking some more dates, but we do have San Francisco, Sacramento, Phoenix, Arizona, Las Vegas is coming up, Boston's coming up, lots more dates coming up. All the way up until June, we're going to be doing this tour until. So myself and Kurt Metzger, the This Should End Well tour, which has been going pretty damn well, if you ask me.
Very good show.
Yep. And the night before Skankfest, I'm going to El Paso to see Rage.
Oh, I know.
On their opening night.
That's awesome, dude. A few people are going, right?
Yeah.
A few comics are going.
I hope if they got better tickets than me, I'm gonna use their tickets.
I'll be there. Maybe I'll fucking.
You're going to the show?
No, we have the kickoff party at Skankfest.
Yeah, and it's like 9 hours away. I thought I could drive it, but so I got to fly from El Paso to Houston next day. But
yeah, no, I will. I'll be at the kickoff party on Thursday night. So here's what happened. I was being funny with a female comic.
Oh, and I did see these. Yes.
Yeah, I sent her this picture. Dude. And then a minute later, I get a text from Shane, and it's this.
Yeah.
And she's just fucking hilarious. Shane's going to get mad that I'm showing these pictures on the fucking camera.
That's an old one, Shane. That's
funny. I know. What's funny is Shane just had it in his phone.
Yeah.
Okay? And then fucking... And it was hilarious. It's so fucking funny.
The funniest part about that picture is that Shane definitely was living in an attic.
No, basement.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
The same slanted... thing.
That's the steps going down in my apartment.
Hilarious. Yeah,
yeah. It's so fucking funny, dude. It made me laugh. When I got that picture back from Shane, I was like, what the fuck? I thought he was at home and just took it to be funny, but he happened to just have the same shot in his phone.
Yeah, the fact that he kept it is, all right.
Hysterical. I love it. I really love it. All right, gentlemen, let's take a quick second and talk about Blue Chew. We got another Blue Chew order in the mail yesterday.
Ooh la la.
I get 27 Blue Chews per month. It's a lot. I'm saving my Blue Chew for a rainy day. Because one day...
It's
going to
rain come.
One day, I'm going to fucking... It's going to go away. And I will have my Blue Chew for the rest of my life. Shannon, tell me the difference between my penis with a Blue Chew and without a Blue Chew. Talk to me about this.
It's like Fat Lewis versus Jacked Lewis.
Whoa. Yeah, Shannon's... By the way, Shannon now, like, the sexual energy...
Lewis's dick is way funnier without Blue Chew.
Shannon, listen to me. Shannon's fucking... The energy she gives me lately has been pretty wacky and sexual. And we're probably going to have sex... It's going to be, you know, in a foreign country, so I think it's not going to count. Are we going to be, Shannon, when we come back from this trip, are we going to be able to be normal again?
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll have to see what happens. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm bringing this bunch of Blue Chew with me, because if I'm going to have sex with Shannon, I'm going to make sure that she feels it everywhere, okay? I want her to feel it in every nerve ending of her body.
I want Shannon to come back from that trip like she just rode a horse.
Yes. It's the same active ingredient as Viagra or Cialis. It's a chewable pill that goes into your bloodstream twice as fast. 45 minutes before you're about to have sex, you just pop one of those in, chew it up, then all of a sudden your dick is harder than it's ever been, ever. I'm going to tell you, you're going to love it. The best part of all of this is you don't have to go visit the doctor. You don't have to have a weird conversation and tell your doctor, like, hey, doc, I want to fuck my chick better. No. You do this online. You fill out a little questionnaire. 5 minutes later, they're sending you your Blue Chew in the mail, comes to you in your fucking mailbox. No weird conversation with a pharmacist. This is all done in the privacy of your own home. It can be done on your cell phone. You can get it all done on your cell phone. How crazy is that? Right now, all you got to do is go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Use the promo code RAP. We're going to give you your first order of Blue Chew for free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, first order free. Use that promo code RAP, $5 shipping. Go do that right now. Blue Chew, fuck better. All right, let's get back into it. All right, let's get into some of this stuff here. Blah, blah, blah. Talked about that already. What's going on with James Franco? He's being Me Too'd again. I thought he already got through his Me Too.
God, dude, this guy loves pussy.
He's trying to break through and just, you know, he laid low long enough. He got like a normal girlfriend. He figured, okay, it's time to come back out. And then they're coming after him again. They're like, no, it's not yet.
What is it? Well, sorry.
I don't know what the time limit is before you're allowed to, you know, start coming back.
So the shit I remember is, I guess, that he had an acting class that he taught, and he was doing sex scenes with the girls.
Yeah.
And I guess they're supposed to wear like a modesty patch. And I think he was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
James Franco. You're welcome, sluts. You're fucking welcome for getting to have James Franco penetrate you.
That's
Are you
what
kidding
the Me
me?
Too is? That's the newest one?
James,
what was before?
Hold on, time out. So hold on, his thing is that during the acting class, did he actually fuck them?
No, I think he might have went down on one.
Nice.
By the way, if that's the crime, he should just look up and be like, I was in the good Spider-Man.
Yeah, he had an acting class. He was basically having girls get naked in it for different scenes. But that's what happens. I've taken acting class before, too. You go rehearse at their apartment. And next thing you know, you're hooking up because you're in the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
You asked before, how far can I go with this? Whatever you got to do. Okay.
Is this good for my character, Mr. Franco?
Let's see. She said she was asked to do a bonus scene that would involve her and other actresses simulating an orgy with Franco. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Oh, this guy's a fucking real ass dude of the week easily. Come on now.
He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
I mean, it's just...
So we were joking, of course, about the women if you're in a guy's hotel room. If you're doing an orgy scene...
I mean,
not for a movie, for funsies.
But it probably was a scene that he picked. I had this girl that I was doing a scene with, and before we were supposed to get physical, I go, all right, what can I do? What are the rules? She goes, you can touch my tits and my ass. Don't touch my pussy. I'm like, okay, fine. And that's how we rehearsed
it. Is this a strip club?
No, it was actually
a strip club in Montreal.
No, it was actually a scene I was doing in an acting class in New York with a girl. We had to rehearse it before we went in and did the scene. And I said, what can I do here? Because we're going to hook up in this moment. And actually gave me the rules. I'm like, okay, fine.
I mean, how many... it's sort of like... I don't know. And like I said, I don't know. But the angle is that James Franco is a piece of shit because he was hooking up with chicks and he was like giving lessons to him.
He picked the creepier scenes to do with the hot girls.
I don't know, man.
Didn't pick the scenes where you argue. You know what I mean? Like, he picked a scene where, okay, this is a perfect scene, a fake orgy with me and a bunch of girls around me. He's guilty of that. But
he's
that's,
guilty of being a womanizer. I don't know.
That's it.
You know that? Like, he's... Yes, he's technically in a position of power, but there is some difference between Louis C.K. and James Franco, right? Because James Franco is a little hottie. You know? These girls, I'm sorry. They wanted it. You're not going to... I will admit that...
Did these girls take this acting class because of his phenomenal acting in Pineapple Express?
Dude,
Or because they probably wanted to fuck James Franco.
I don't think Louis did anything wrong, to be completely honest. I'd say Louis did borderline nothing wrong. I would say that he is guilty of not having the foresight to know that this is going to bite him in the ass one day. That's really what he's guilty of.
Yeah.
Louis's worst punishment should have been a punch in the nose if one of those girls had a boyfriend.
Yeah. But even so, it's like, why is your fucking whore girlfriend going back to some famous comedian's hotel room? How about you fucking tell her to fucking calm down there and not do that? That's what I would say. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm an asshole. Right. But it's like, if my girlfriend was a comic and she ended up in a famous comedian's hotel room, I don't give a shit what way we want to slice this. I'm going to go, why were you there? What the fuck were you doing? And there's no answer she's going to have that isn't like, oh, hey, you know what? Even if she didn't plan on cheating, she was still fucking seeing how far she could take this.
She was dangling the carrot.
To get what she can fucking get, right?
Yeah.
I had one of my exes that I was dating that was a comedian. I won't say who the comic was, but fucking I caught a famous comedian, like a hilariously famous comedian, in her text messages. But Zach, if I write it down, don't fucking elude, you fucking dickhead.
I 100% promise. Zach,
fucking, no, he's going to. Don't be an asshole. I want you to know who I'm talking about for context. But I was so angry because I was like, there's no way you want to be friends with this person.
Not in this guy. Did this guy know?
Oh,
God
shit.
Damn it.
Did this guy know that she was with you?
Wait a minute. Did that? Yeah, we hung out one night.
Okay, so he did know.
Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't anything super inappropriate. It was just a conversation. I was like, what do you think is fucking going on?
I wish it wasn't somebody that would be so funny.
It's so funny.
And I can't.
No, thank you. Thank you. I respect you. And you don't have to make Shannon edit.
Yeah,
but it was just kind of like, I was like, well, what are you even texting with this guy for? I was like, what is it going to? You're not being friends with this person. You're not working with this person. It's like, what do you think he's thinking? And, you know,
if at any point I take my headphones off and leave, it's because I have a really good one.
Dude, I have so many in
just
the chamber
shut the
right
fuck
now.
Up, everyone.
I'll be a good boy.
Everyone shut your face.
Yeah, I'll be a good boy.
The point is, though, you know, there is some semblance of personal responsibility there where he goes, like, well, what are you having this conversation with this guy for in the beginning? I was like, you know, yes, he's famous. He could probably do something for you. It's like, well, what is this going? Where you want to be friends with this person? Let's get real. You'll be friends with Louis. Is that what's going on, ladies? You want us to go hang out in his hotel room and fucking be pals? No, you're looking to fucking hopefully parlay this into something bigger. And he jerked off in front of you. And then when it wasn't parlayed into something bigger, you felt like a piece of shit afterwards. You're like, I just let a man jerk off in front of me because I let myself fucking get trapped into showing up in his hotel room. That's what fucking happened there. But I will not apologize for being a creep because I am a creep and I'm unapologetically a creep. I think that the thing is, what I've learned in my older years is you cannot lie to women. You have to just be completely upfront. You have to be completely honest. And probably the best idea would be to not fuck female comedians anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the move.
I'm curious about what your girlfriend at the time, what she said when you said, hey, what's going on here?
She's like, nothing. And I look like a crazy person because there was actually nothing going on. It was simply like friendly texts.
Right.
But it was like, well, what are you even fucking
doing? He's just waiting for you guys to break up.
Of course.
So move in. That's a, you know, a typical guy move.
Yeah,
I love
when the girl goes. He was asking about you, of course, because he wants to know if you guys are still together.
Yeah,
yeah. He's planting the seed.
Of course.
Did these girls know when they went up to Franco's thing for the acting class?
Probably not. You know, look, he's picking out different scenes. He's the coach there,
right?
And he's like, all right, let's do this scene of this whatever. And he's part in them. Look, it's probably girls that didn't get the roles they wanted. They thought, you know.
Hanging out with
James Franco, yeah. He's going to say, hey, call a producer up and go, hey, put her in a movie. She's great.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Maybe they went there and they were sucked on the audition and now they're blaming him.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I think that's probably what happened. They hook up. And this is not anything crazy. So I know a lot of actors. I've taken acting classes. I was in drama society in high school. These are horny motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
These people like to suck and fuck each other. Okay. This is what they do. They're really horny. It's a horny breed of people. And I guarantee you, this just is a regular occurrence. People just fucking auditioning, they hook up, they get into the scene, they're like, all right, let's go fuck after this. The problem is, he's so famous, he kicked up some Me Too dust already a couple years ago. So the story is just sort of people, some girls that were in that class went like, oh yeah, well that happened to me, I hooked up with him, I didn't get that part. Yeah, he did sort of like allude that I was going to like get this part. And then they start to convince themselves that they're a victim instead of stepping back and going, I fucked James Franco. Which is a win. You won, bitch. Maybe I can't.
The whole Me Too movement in general is just like, I think poorly titled. Because it was one girl went, I got raped. And then 5 million other girls went, saw her get attention and went, Me Too!
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I did that too.
Yeah.
That's sick, though, with the orgy thing. That's almost like your move, taking the chairs out of the hotel room.
Smart idea.
Professional.
Very smart.
I remember me and my acting coach were both having sex with the same girl in our acting class, and we both didn't know. She was hiding it from both of us, and we found out one night. Because usually after acting class, you go out and you have some drinks, and that's when all the shit goes down. And then he found out he was mad at me. I'm like, hey, I didn't know. She never told me.
He left you a note inside of her pussy? Just yeah. So you know, Jim.
I found the sides in her snatch. Yeah. I'm like, how'd these get in here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, we really do, we've sort of reverted to this weird, like, it's almost like a religious Christian sort of like culture where sexuality has become so like taboo. I liked a few years ago when feminism was like, yeah, suck everybody's dick. If you're a feminist, you're going to suck a man's... The next man you see, you're going to suck his dick. You're not even going to ask his name. That was feminism for like 3 years. And I was like, yes, this is great.
It was like the steroid era.
Yeah.
Your numbers were inflated.
Yeah.
Not a cracking down.
It's like McGuire and Canseco when they're on the A's together.
You know, look at Louis.
Solid.
They're going to look at Lewis's baseball card years from now. I go, what happened in these 3 years? You were on something. Like, no, it was a feminist era.
Dude, it was great. And then now we're in this time where it's like,
I got a Gomez rookie card. Like the gum's hard. But
you have to like ask every step of the way. And, you know, sexuality was like, it was like, there's nuance and there's like a little bit of like, you have to have a little bit of finesse, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I think I'm good at recognizing when no means yes. Is that crazy?
That's a dangerous line.
Yeah, I know. I like the danger, baby.
Yeah, I hear you.
Some people like to jump out of airplanes.
Right.
You know? That should be the new Mountain Dew commercials.
The Code Red commercial.
The Code Red is
banging one.
No, when no, no means yes. Code Red. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, look, it's probably better overall, but it is just definitely less of a, you know, it's less exciting. I don't even know what I would do. How would I even hook up with, if I was in a comic now, I don't even know what the first step would be for hooking up with a chick, asking for consent.
Can't go to a bar.
Yeah, they're all drunk.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. Anytime a girl's drunk, I will not fuck a drunk girl at all. Even when I had a girlfriend and when she would get drunk, I wouldn't fuck her. She was my girlfriend. I was like, nah, I don't really want to fuck. You're drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks too. That's a feeling that people actually have anymore. But I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you got to walk such a fucking line anymore. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. I think it's also maybe only in big cities too. I think when you go to like, you know, when you're on the road, you go to a bar, everyone's just like,
regular people again.
Yeah.
It's like,
if you go to the middle of the country, nobody gives a fuck what Louis did.
Yeah.
It's New York and LA care.
It's very true. Was there any other James Franco stories, or is it just that specific one? There's no other details? Because his lawyer said that these girls are just looking for attention, which, you know, I have a feeling like his, that lawyer's lawyer would have advised him against that line.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was just going to say, Franco's lawyer is a fucking man. He's like, fuck these bitches.
Yeah, these bitches wanted it. Franco's lawyer, he's doesn't fucking give him. A fuck. Franco's lawyer.
Even Franco's like, pump the brakes, dude.
Oh, shit, dude. Franco's lawyer is just a fucking it's a, he's an asshole from L.A. Like, yeah. Drives a
it's
fucking,
just Louis.
Yeah. Jeremy Piven is Franco's lawyer.
Well, Franco might be saying, look, this is my last shot. I already got Me Too'd. I lay low for a while. I'm trying to make a comeback. And if he doesn't this time, he's finished.
Yeah.
So he's got to come out, you know, full guns blazing.
If I could be honest, it makes me doubt the sincerity of accusations when they time them for when somebody has something big coming out.
Well, it's not that the girls time it. It is
the articles time it.
It's the media. So they know that they do all the analytics on this shit. We've talked about this plenty of times, like the Aziz thing.
We heard about that a month before.
We heard about months More, before. Yeah. When Aziz got fucking in trouble, we heard about that shit so long before that. That was
people were sniffing around.
And what happens is agents find out about it first because, you know, they try to get a comment and they go, yeah, no comment. So then people start talking. Like the Louis thing was around for years and years and years. The Aziz thing was around for months. We had heard about it. And then they positioned it as Aziz was at that award show and he was wearing like a, you know,
Time's Up pin or button.
Yeah. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But it was like, that was bullshit. They were just sort of waiting for like the moment to release that. So yeah, it's all just sort of like, you know, it's like marketing. I don't know. It's like, it's all part of a, you know.
So like they hit Franco when he had the Disaster Artist coming out.
Yeah.
Because there was buzz that he was going to win an Oscar for that. And they're like, well, let's kill this.
Didn't he address it though on like a late night on like Fallon or something?
I think he did bring it up. What do you do, Dylan? You could chime in here, buddy. Thank you for not just chiming in.
Late night with Seth Meyers is at the end of the article.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, pull it up. What did he say? And that
just happened to Timothy Hutton too. You know, he just had a series on Fox. It was the end of the first season. They
and
weren't sure if
like
they were
the
going to pick it up or not.
Huh? His
yeah, that was from the 80s. And they decided, we're not picking it up now.
What'd they get him on? Just same thing?
Some girl said it when she was 14 years old. He took him and his friend took her back to a hotel room.
There was no chairs.
They're filming a movie. No chairs. Even Timothy Hutton's not a professional. You know, like, I wouldn't have my guy friend in the room.
Levy, you know what I mean? Scram.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go. Sorry.
I think anything before 1999, we should just consider a wash. Because we didn't know the internet was going to be around.
It's just like the guys in this, they think a lot of guys, baseball guys in the 70s took steroids. You don't know. The Pittsburgh Steelers offensive linemen supposedly were all on 70 steroids in the 70s. You got to let that go.
Yeah.
That was another time.
Let it go. That's
grandfathered in.
There's like before Christ and then there's AD. We need to have like an after internet, like some sort of like whenever the internet came out where we all started acting right.
Not even the internet, like post AOL.
Yeah, not just internet. Yeah, like post like social media, You know, we didn't realize what was going to happen. Like, yeah, you're right. The internet was like, oh, I could look at fucking porn. This is incredible. It actually, it fed my urge to go be a rape artist. You know, I was like, I'm fucking, I'm a horny overload. I could fucking think, they were giving me ideas. It was incredible. You know, and then it was like, oh shit, we could share ideas really, really easily. Oh, you could just fucking ruin somebody's career with a fucking couple tweets. We didn't know that. We would have all acted appropriately had we known.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Screenshots.
That's like holding Vikings accountable for like raping and pillaging. What are you doing? There was a times. This is 97, baby.
People at Woodstock 99 must love that theory. At the buzzer.
Dude, Woodstock 99 is the moment. It was the final moment in history where you could be fucking real ass. That was it. That was the real ass culmination of everything. When Limp Bizkit, when people were surfing on boards.
And they played break stuff and people lit shit on fire.
They were lighting shit on fire. Girls were being just fucking finger banged to being thrown around a crowd like a beach ball.
Yeah, when they were crowd surfing.
It was nuts. I wasn't there, but I watched it on TV, and I knew it was something very special.
One of my good friends was in the picture in the New York Post throwing shit into the fire. He was one of those guys.
It was a chair.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, what are we doing?
Burn the chairs! They'll have nowhere to sit!
That's what it started to turn to after that. Because I remember ZMCA at the, it was like the MTV Awards. He was the one who came up when they accepted the award. Was like the you know, all the brutal shit against women, especially at Woodstock 99, need to stop. And I was like, shut up, faggot. You know, it's fucking, I was like, yeah, dude, shut up. It was like nowadays, though, if somebody were to say it, it's fucking nuts.
Of course,
like,
dude. Imagine a Coachella. They're just fucking lighting things on fire and finger banging chicks against their will. Like, yeah, it's Coachella. This is just what happens. Sponsored by Pepsi. Yeah.
You would always see that when a girl was crowd surfing, like in the late 90s or whatever. You always see a hand, just his hand, grab her ass, this one grab her tits, like, like that, just always. That fucking... And, you know, she's in the middle
it's
of the crowd.
It's like Creation of Man painting.
Yeah.
She's going to fall. And you fucking, you hold her up with her vagina.
Like a bowling ball.
Yeah, vagina, two fingers in her pussy, one in her butthole, and then somehow you can still grab her boob. That's the proper technique to hold her up. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. If you're a woman, don't crowd surf in 1999.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Now, I'm assuming they're very respectful now.
With all the cameras, yeah, you gotta be, because they'll track that hand.
You get your fucking ass beat, dude.
Yep.
I've seen that happen. Like, guys go grab a chick, and guys will start fucking them up.
Yeah.
It's a different time. Like, you can't... that's actually an interesting thing, right? Because I do remember very clearly at concerts when I was a kid, like 16, 17, girls would just essentially get finger banged and felt up the whole time. And I would never in a million years do that. I remember always looking at guys that would do it, being like, God damn, dude. And you would see once in a while somebody, like, they grab their hand and, like, you know, some like bouncer or some other dude would pull their hand away. But now, if something like that happened, I think the guy would get his fucking ass beat quickly. Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, it is, there's something about, when they talk about quote unquote rape culture, which is such an old term at this point. But yeah, there was a culture of like, it wasn't so much a culture of being shitty to women as it was a culture of not really being held accountable for being shitty to anyone. You know, you could be a piece of shit back then. And it was like, well, all right, your small circle of friends, what, you knew 40 people in the world. You know, and then it didn't really get out beyond that. Now it's like,
and if you did something really fucked up, you moved.
Yeah, that was it. You moved to another town. If you're a piece of shit now, that shit, it will follow you forever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how would you even get a regular job? Like, let's say you get Me Too'd, right? James Franco gets Me Too'd, and he's like known as a piece of shit. Let's say he blows all of his money, he's bankrupt, he has to go get a job. Could he even work at a regular job? He's so famous for being Me Too'd, it's like people would fuck with him at his regular job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to do like a work at home type thing. There's no way you could work like at a fucking restaurant, like bartend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was Me Too over there.
Yeah. 99, Woodstock, the moment that we should just choose Woodstock 99. Anything that happened before Woodstock 99 is wiped from everyone's record. And then Woodstock 99 on, we are accountable for it.
It's a good timeline.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
So Iraq apparently has released 54,000 inmates who tested negative for coronavirus. to avoid spreading the disease.
So their sentences are excommunicated, or
I have no idea. I don't know.
But what, or do they have a problem with it in the jail?
And what are their crimes, though? You know,
it's Iraq. It might be like fucking showing their ankles.
Yeah, it could be gay.
Yeah,
they were gay.
Yeah,
they had a gay thought. They locked them up.
Lock them
they
up.
They hugged their son.
So they left 54,000 prisoners out because they didn't have coronavirus.
Yeah.
It was prisoners that were not jailed for more than 5 years and had already posted bail.
Okay.
It says in the article.
Okay, weird. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. The bigger story, I guess, here is coronavirus. Who cares at this point? I'm just waiting for the to fucking pass and we can start talking about something else.
Yeah.
I'm over. I watched Dr. Drew last night tell the media to shut the fuck up.
Oh, what did Dr. Drew say?
Dr. Drew was like, you're more likely to die from the regular flu. The media needs to absolutely shut up. And if anyone but a doctor is telling you anything, disregard it.
Yeah, dude. That's no, great. He's good. Right. Good.
Good.
It's just people that are... We already had one person ask for a refund for Skankfest tickets.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
But that's the reason?
Yeah, they said they're scared of coronavirus.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, if you...
all the things to be scared about at Skankfest.
I mean, to be honest, you are way more likely to be... Yeah.
Hey, clean off that needle. I don't want to get corona.
You're not worried about genital warts at Skankfest.
Yeah, it's just... people are freaking out. I go onto a New York City subway platform every day that has 5,000 people on it. I mean, it's just... You know, people are like, yeah, I can't go to the gym, dude. You can't go to the gym. People, there's sweat everywhere. It's like, you were never going to the gym anyway, you fat fuck.
Yeah, dude.
You know? And then it's also like the only people that are dying of it are old people, right?
And they were in a nursing home. And nursing homes always just, you know, people are dying of infections in there. It's all a dirty place.
But isn't that like when a forest burns and all the old trees go and there's room for new trees?
Yeah.
Isn't that what diseases do?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's making room for more people. We got too many people.
Yeah. I can't walk around being in fear. And it became very apparent right after 9/11. That was when it was just so obvious that the news wanted you to fucking live in fear. You turn every channel and it would be like, they had the color systems back then. It'd be like, we're on orange alert, we're on red alert, yellow alert. It was like, there was all these different like... and I remember every day it would just be whatever the next level of worse was. And you'd be like, we got to watch this. And you'd be tuning in just regularly. And I just remember thinking like, this is all bullshit. It's just not real. I mean, it's not. I mean, I lived in New York City during 9/11. That was a fucking crazy thing that happened here. But to use that against us, to watch the news and not to get angry, to see the way they use all of these things. And they get us to tune in and they use our fear against us and to not say, I'm going to opt out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I completely opt out. I will not watch the news. I won't even let the news go on. I won't support it. I won't give them the ratings because it's so fake and so not real. And it's so based in this other alternative universe designed to sell advertising, designed to keep you in fear, designed to make you think a certain way. The stories that go to the top of the news cycle, they're paid sponsored stories. I mean, it's fucking crazy. I just opt out and I feel way happier not worrying about any of that shit. Even my son was like, he was like, Dad, should we be worried about the coronavirus? Yeah. And I was like, how is it? It's getting to my son. My 7-year-old son is being affected to where he's like worried about it.
Remember after 9/11, like 5 days after, there was this rumor, it was on the news all the time, that there was a nuclear bomb in a suitcase and it was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to wipe out New York, Westchester, everybody around it. Like, it's out there. It's in the United States somewhere. And people were freaking out over it.
Yeah.
There was so many of those, the white vans, that like unmarked white vans, like terrorists. Or that they were dancing on roofs in Patterson, that Muslims were dancing on roofs in Patterson. So much shit went around the week after 9/11.
Yeah, that was, it was a time when it was, I just remember living, and I did live in fear. I was very fearful after 9/11 that it was going to happen again, that we were constantly under attack. You know, even to this day, it is residual. Like, I won't bring my son to like the Thanksgiving Day parade. I won't do it. Right. Just because, look, if there's going to be some sort of like attack or some sort of like crazy thing, it's going to be a big crowded type of thing and they're going to want to make it spectacular.
That's also a great excuse not to go to a thing that sucks.
Yeah, I also fucking hate parades.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a fucking mark you have to be.
Yeah.
To get up at 4 a.m. to watch Floats like an asshole.
My son's like, Dad, I want to go to dance school. I was like, nah, that they're probably going to get attacked by terrorists.
Coronavirus.
The night before Thanksgiving, my dad used to drive me to where they were loading the floats.
Yeah.
And that was cool because it would just be like 10 people watching that. I can't imagine getting up on a hot, fuck that.
Ugh.
It's a holiday. Yeah. The one thing you don't want to do is get up.
Yeah. Imagine going to fucking...
And then if you have to piss, you lose your spot.
And it's cold.
On New Year's Eve, people wear diapers.
Oh, my God.
People wear diapers in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
They're mentally ill. What is the benefit of going to see the ball drop?
There's no upside at all.
When you can't drink, you know what I mean? Like everybody used to bring a bottle with you or something like that, a big party, but there's no drinking or
anything. There's no drinking in the streets in New Year's?
If they catch you, you can hide it probably in a flask, but it's not open where you can just hang around, walk around and drink.
Oh, see, in Philly.
And it's all young people, too. It's all like 16, 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're naming some positive benefits.
If they catch you just drinking like a beer...
I don't know, but I just know it's not allowed.
It's decriminalized in New York. They give you a ticket now, similar to like weed, where they used to arrest you back in the day. I would have assumed during Times Square that they allowed like drinking within the confines of the...
Really? It's all corporate now, man. It's all like ABC. Disney owns Times Square.
Because when you go to the San Gennaro Festival downtown, you could drink in the streets. They block off the streets. It's like a street festival almost where you're allowed to go up and grab a bar, go to this place, go to that place, which is pretty great. You know?
Some places are the opposite. Like I remember a few years ago, Hoboken made it $1,000 fine for open container on St. Patrick.
Jesus.
It's pretty crazy. I think all of those rules have sort of...
Jersey's also brutal on open container.
Yeah, a negative effect. I don't really understand it. I think people that are drunk that are going to be a problem... It's gonna be a problem whether they have a beer in a plastic bag or if they fucking have a beer in the bar. There's not much of a difference. It's sort of you're just number one, you're creating criminals. Yeah. You're sort of creating crimes, not a real crime. And then you're sort of you're putting people on like in a weird like defensive position where they're like hiding something and they're fucking doing something kind of shady. I feel like to let people drink a little bit.
Yeah.
Same thing with weed. It's like when I go to a place where weed's legal now, it's so silly when you go to a place where it's illegal and you know you're like I'm a criminal right now and you're acting shady. Like I come from California and like I'll just be smoking a joint, walking on the street, everything's great, high five a cop, everyone's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Then I come back to New York and I got like I'm going into an alleyway, like looking over my shoulder, like, and the energy that I'm giving off is a very negative, ugly, illegal, criminal like energy. So I don't think it has any sort of good effect. But I don't go out on any of those drinking holidays. St. Patty's Day is coming up in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Terrible holiday. St. Patrick's, horrible. New Year's. I would even say Halloween in New York sucks.
Cinco de Mayo too.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah, see, in Philly, it's contained with the bummers on New Year's Day, but they let you drink, but it's also contained to, like, Broad Street, and then at the end of the night, they go to 2 Street and just ruin it. Like, there's just bottles and everything. But since they know they can do an open bottle and they're not going to get in trouble, it's contained to just that street. They're not going nuts because they're like, all right.
Yeah.
It's a kind of your point where it's like, don't make them act like assholes.
Yeah, you could drink in Vegas in the streets, New Orleans, right? Vegas, there's never any problems with fucking like drinking the streets. It's just too wide. It's not like compact. I think when you're like very compact, maybe that's when it becomes a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
But we should. I mean, in a weird way, like I do like watching street fights. So,
love them.
It would be fun to maybe go out on St. Patty's Day and just try to look for the street fights because they get crazy.
Yeah.
What's the worst street fight you've ever seen? I saw a bat fight outside my apartment. Metal bat. I saw.
That's how coronavirus started.
Each other with
bats and biting each other and blood just flying everywhere.
Big guinea fucking metal baseball bat fight outside my old apartment.
They both just had metal bats?
No, five dudes rolled up on another group of dudes, all with bats. And you just heard ding, ding, ding.
Zach thought it was the dinner bell. Yeah. He came running.
The ice cream man.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it was over so fast.
Oh, yeah.
How many people involved? Went from a big group of dudes standing, another car rolled up, everybody had the metal bats, and then it was just 8 dudes on the ground.
That's standard for the guineas. You gotta roll with the metal bats.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I couldn't imagine. This is how I know I'm not like a violent, vicious guy. I would never hit somebody with a bat. I wouldn't do it. I would never. I could never bring myself to grabbing a bat and swinging at somebody's fucking head. My assumption would be that this is going to kill them. If I connect, it's going to kill them.
What if someone breaks in your place?
I was just
going to
say. Yeah, I was just going to say.
So I got a bat right by my bed just in case.
I mean, if somebody came into my place and was trying to hurt my kid, that's a little different, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about a fight. There's two guys, mano a mano. I have a problem with this fucking guy. Even if he had a bat and I got the bat from him, I couldn't imagine me swinging it at his head full strength. Maybe at his arms or his leg or like, you know, I'd more than likely, if I got the bat from him, I'd fling it as far away as possible and just try to fight him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Because I would be afraid to fucking murder a guy with a bat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens a lot. I watched a bat fight recently on, like, there's all these Twitter, like, pages where there's just fights. These dudes just came out and just fucking wonk.
Ugh. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that.
God damn it, dude.
Yeah.
Any weapon, really. Like, I don't grab weapons. No. Like, it's a weird fucking thing. I just feel like once you bring it to that level, it's like, I'm not a killer, right? So let's say there's a scuffle, right? There's three of my friends, there's three guys there, right? And you're all at a fucking, you know, bar. The second somebody grabs a ketchup bottle off the table, it's like, well, then it's just like fucking, it's over. Like, I mean, now we're just grabbing crazy things and hitting each other with them. I mean, you have to, in my mind, I'm logically thinking like, I have to put this guy down. I have to kill him or be killed at this point. You're using blunt objects to hit each other in the head. I want no part of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
No part of it. And that there's a type of person that will go there. And yeah, it's just not me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you see the video of the knife fight on the train?
Oh yeah, the chick and the dude?
Yeah, that was horrifying. Can you imagine being on a crowded train?
I didn't see this one.
It was like a older lady. They weren't
in New York.
Yeah, New York train. Older lady, older dude, vaguely homeless looking.
Yeah,
and they both took out knives. And
what kind of knives?
I don't know. What would you say?
I don't even. Here it is.
Is this it?
Yeah. It's in volume.
Is he Jamaican?
Pause it. These are straight up Africans.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, Africans don't give a fuck, doggy. I watched an African guy pull an knife.
She just blows dust in his face and he's a zombie now.
His head shrinks.
Why you do that to my head? Yeah, I mean, I had a chick pull out a razor blade on me once on a train, like a little lesbian bitch. Or no, she was. The argument started on the train, and then we spilled out into like 34th Street. And she pulled out a razor blade, and I remember just thinking, I was like, I could easily take that from her, like easily. Like if I wanted to, like I mean, she might be able to get like a little bit of a slash in, but
like a straight razor, or just literally the blade. Like she's.
It was a box cutter.
Oh, okay.
So what'd you do when she took it out?
I just backed off. Right. I didn't, once again, you're in this moment. I'm going like, in my mind, I'm going like, she's a little lesbian. I was arguing with these chicks. It was two chicks, right? And like, I'm a big dude. In my mind, I was like, all I do is land one. And I will. She's not a fucking, like, she's not a fighter. I'll land one. And I will take that blade from her. And then I will throw it far away. And I'll beat the shit out of this little lesbian. But even in that moment, what's going to happen is, this little chick pulls out a box cutter. Nobody sees a box cutter. They see a big Puerto Rican guy drilling this little lesbian in the face. Now I'm getting fucking jumped and arrested. She fucking threw the, all of that sort of played through my mind in that moment. I was like, and then also, I don't want to get my arms like sliced up. Like she's going to fucking start swinging. But she's a fucking chick. You know what I'm saying? She's going to like wind up way too much. I don't know. I could probably beat up most chicks that have a weapon, even if they have a weapon. Like Shannon. Shannon,
yes.
Get a box cutter. See if you can cut me.
Come in here. Get your ass whooped, Shannon.
To cut you.
Get a marker. Get a marker. Let's see if you can cut me with a marker, put a mark on me. Get like, no, don't get a permanent. Get like one of the dry erase ones. Get the red one.
He doesn't want to look silly.
Yeah. God.
Wait, that's a It's a highlighter. It's not going to leave a mark, Shannon. Are you fucking retarded? I have yellow, jaundice-like skin.
It's just going to turn Lewis orange.
Can you beat up Ronda Rousey if she had a box cutter?
No, Ronda Rousey would fuck me. I'm just saying the average one.
Right, the average.
Yeah. Okay, that's all right, so cool. So, Shannon, hold on. Back it up a little bit. Hold on. Let's see if Shannon can actually... No, all you got to do, that's a box cutter. All you got to do, if you leave a black mark on me,
yes,
then you've cut me.
Hold on, wait. Take him out, Shannon.
Wait.
Shannon loves this. Ready, wait. I'm gonna fucking drill it.
Dude, if you fucking cock her, I'm gonna fucking die.
Wait, but are you gonna try to disarm me?
Yes, I'm gonna try to disarm you. What are you, crazy? You're trying to fucking cut me. Listen, bitch. Listen, you're not fat anymore. She come. Oh,
no, it doesn't
die. She got my wrist a little bit.
Right.
See?
She didn't go. Because I grabbed her arm and she went, I disarmed her. Ow, you son of a bitch.
What did she do?
She did hit my vein. Oh, I'm bleeding out. Ow, fuck, you really hit me in the balls.
Did Zach, you hit him in the balls when this was going on? Yeah,
that really hurt so badly.
How was that, dude? You were facing me.
It really was brutal. God damn it. Exactly, my point proven, Shannon. She technically touched me with the blade, but if you really look at the way that
what
it, like,
mean? I would have got.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have a guy, a friend of yours, hitting you in the ball.
I also wouldn't. Yeah, going down. That would be hilarious, though. Yeah. Zach, if I was in a fight with a little lesbian with a razor blade, and you punch me in the balls just to give her a shot, that'd be pretty funny. I'd give it to you.
If you're in that video, just on the chair. Also, you wouldn't be set up like that. She could just easily, just in the middle of your argument,
just
like
come up, slice my throat from behind.
OJ.
Yeah. Pull my tongue out of my neck. Peruvian neck timing. Yeah, Shannon, you're very slow and predictable, your movement.
I'm not trying to really, if you were like a girl, like a similar size to me, I think it would have been.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm never gonna fight a dude.
That was the point that I was making.
Yeah, no, I'm never going to try to fight a dude.
You're fucking weak. Okay, so, all right, after being married for 10 years, Courtney Stodden says that Doug Hutchinson groomed her and verbally abused her. This is the 16-year-old girl that married. He was an older guy, right?
Guy from 15. Lost, right?
I think so. They were both on like a celebrity relationship show together.
He was the guy from X-Files that could go between prison bars. He was like liquid. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like T-1000?
Yeah. He like had this thing where he could like get through small spaces.
Okay.
She was like a smoking hot, like big fake-titted teenager, right?
Yes. Oh, he was Percy from The Green Mile.
Oh.
Courtney Stodden and mom heat up the red carpet at reality show Percy. Let's see.
I'm trying to find more pictures of them. But yeah, so they were married for 10 years. She's 25 now.
Good Lord.
For him.
And they just got divorced. And now she's coming out against him saying she was groomed and verbally abused by him. But her parents signed off on their marriage when she was 16.
I mean, yeah.
What'd she look like as a kid?
Verbally abused is not a... That's breaking up.
Yeah, that's arguing over something.
Unless you're happily married, okay, forever, and it never ends, fine. But yeah, if you have ever broken up, you verbally abused each other. You said mean shit to each other.
Yep.
What do you
How
want
old
say?
Was this dude?
He was 50.
He was 50 at the time.
And she was 15?
16, yeah.
16,
this
yeah.
This is her. This says that her at 16.
And she was, that looks like Michael Jackson on the left.
Yeah. That's what I'd say.
And what is she from? What did she do?
Heaven.
They met in, he had an acting class.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Franco style.
Nice. That's where James Franco got the idea.
Yeah.
Dude, like...
Oh, that's before he got her big fake boobs?
Yeah.
You don't think a 50-year-old's going to have a problem with a 16-year-old? There's not going to be any verbal fights?
Come on. I say good for him. I say
no
good
more
for her.
Ice cream for dinner.
Good for him, but, you know.
They both got what they wanted out of it. You know, verbally abused, that's stupid. Anybody in a relationship verbally abuses the other person as soon as it starts going south. Okay? It's called fighting. You get into a fight. How do you fight unless you're verbally abusing?
Yeah, what'd she mean groomed? Like he made her get fake tits?
I guess when he met her, they say, what is grooming? It's like when you meet a person who's underage and you sort of like build the relationship, get them ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, ripen.
Yikes.
He left her on the counter for...
That's not verbal abuse. He just had three times as long to get good at arguing.
Yeah. It's just an argument. I mean, how do you argue without verbally abusing?
Yeah, also, she was 16 and he was 50. Yeah, that's... Come on. They're never going to see eye to eye.
You can't argue and go, look, yeah. I don't really mean this, but you're a cunt.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to say the meanest things possible. Some of the shit that some of my exes have said to me, I mean... Just words that, like, there, even when, like, we were still together, it's like, it wasn't even at the end. It was just, like, things that I'll never unhear. Like, I said that to one of my exes once. I was like, you know, I'll never, like, unhear those words.
Haunted.
Like, that's, like, that will live forever. I was like, just so you know, every time we look at each other, that will replay in my fucking head. I would never cross that line with a chick. Like, I would never say anything, like, that mean.
Yeah.
Women will go there the first argument. Oh, yeah. Just the first time, it's like, fuck you, you got a little dick, you piece of shit. Oof. My ex-boyfriend fucks 10 times as good as you. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, that's it. Like, I will, anytime I put my dick inside of you, now I'm thinking about how your ex-boyfriend mm-hmm. fucks 10 times as good as me. Why would you even say that unless you meant it?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. But and then men are abusive.
And she'll say she's joking the next day and she's really not.
No, she never said she was joking.
Or I was
she never
mad.
Even said she was joking.
I was mad.
No. Yeah, you can't take some of those things back. And I think that men are a little bit more... It's not empathetic. That's not the... Maybe it's just because we've gotten that. We've had that type of abuse before. We've had those things said to us. Like a girl will just call you fat. Like a guy, I would never call a woman fat unless I hated her, right? But it would never be like a girl that like I kind of liked. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? You're just a little bit overweight. And...
Yeah, but the second a fight starts, the first thing you call every woman is fat.
Yeah, well, especially if they're not fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, but not if I'm into them though. If I'm with a chick, if my girl, let's say I'm dating a chick and she's put on some weight, I would never call her fat. I would never be like, yeah, you're fat.
That's like the meanest thing you could say
to her. The meanest fucking thing in the world. A woman would have no problem. Like the amount of girls that I've dated where it's gone south and we started arguing and they just go to fat. It's like, bitch, you're dating me. You are fucking dating me. You're dating a fat guy. You've chosen this life.
Mm-hmm. That's their dick size. That's a guy's dick size comeback, calling a bitch fat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all we got.
Yeah. And they always tell you they love your dick until they break up. And then all of a sudden you got a little dick.
And they're quick. They're quick
to tell you they got that little dick. Like, you've been waiting to tell me this happened to you.
Yeah, it's been in the chamber.
you've been thinking of adjectives. Just laying there.
I mean, they're just liars. They look you in the face. They tell you they love your dick until you break up. Then you got a little dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is she not more embarrassed to be that much of a phony? That's what I want to know.
My buddy just got one of those, the end all message through Instagram, nonetheless. And they were dating for like 6 months. This was one of the harshest messages I've ever seen written.
Was it through like an Instagram story too? So you had to keep on clicking?
No, I wish I'd have saved it all. But no, it was through the fucking DM. She blocked me and all this shit. And then she was like, I'll leave you with this. And it was a fucking mic drop.
What was the message?
And, I mean, I can't remember all of it, but it was... so much more than you have a small dick. Like it was like fucking nuts. And I was like, ugh. He goes, yeah, dude, I'm really reassessing my life here. I was like, God damn, dude.
Yeah. Yikes. Women will fucking, they'll just get into your head. They don't even realize it. And we're so sensitive to women's feelings that it's like, and people talk about me like I'm a piece of shit, but I'm so sensitive to a woman's feelings. It's that great Patrice bit where he talks about how he never wants to hurt his chick's feelings. He was like, if I had to break up my chick, he was like, I would rather her get hit by a bus than have to break up with her. He just doesn't want to have to deal with hurting her, so he'd rather her die.
And in retrospect, if only.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. So yeah, I mean, whatever. We're all in fear of coronavirus. Please, just the next fucking news thing. What is it going to be? Hit any day now. I'm just for every day. It's a new coronavirus thing.
Is it confirmed in the U.S.? Because I've heard different things.
Yeah, there's a few. In Seattle, there's a bunch, okay. Right?
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, Washington State. Yeah, Washington. A few. I think there's a lawyer in New York City that got it. He's sick, but
I just read a thing where it was like. You could have coronavirus, not have any symptoms, and pass coronavirus onto the other person. So you're like, okay, so now you're just saying, yeah, everyone could have coronavirus. Everyone just has it.
Yeah. So, it started out like a Jeff Foxworthy bit right there.
Who cares?
You might have coronavirus.
But who cares then? I mean, I can't live my life in that fear.
Yeah.
An Amazon worker.
If you do kung fu when you sneeze, you might have corona.
So let's see. Okay, so Miss Staten Island was banned from St. Patty's Day parade after coming out as bisexual. Miss Staten Island.
Which
I thought was a prerequisite for even applying to be Miss Staten Island.
You gotta make out with chicks to get the second round.
Yeah, you had to take fucking six shots of tequila and make out with a chick on a bar. Isn't that how you get there?
What's she look like? Do we have a picture of
Miss Staten Island?
Who would ban her from that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's not Miss Staten Island.
No, that is Miss Staten Island.
No, that's not Miss Staten Island. This fucking dumpy fucking what? That's the best Staten Island has to offer.
Unkempt Shannon.
Shannon, you're from Staten Island.
Why am I not doing way better?
How are you not fucking Shannon? You could be Miss Staten Island in a heartbeat.
Oh boy.
Do you know how much hotter you are than Miss Staten Island?
I had no idea.
Pull her up.
Miss Staten Island looks like Shannon if she worked for Compound.
Who was in second place?
Holy shit.
Good God.
Damn.
Is there any more pictures of her? Let's see. The day before her Burroughs annual...
That nose better come with some big Jewish tits.
St. Patrick's Day.
They probably banned her because they don't want to see her making out with another girl. That's disgusting.
Ew. Miss Staten Island Madison Linsalata publicly came out as bisexual to several news outlets. She revealed her plan to wear rainbow colors while marching in the parade, especially because the Pride Center of Staten Island was not allowed to march. Shortly after this news broke, a parade organizer informed Linsalata that she could not march to Sunday's event, citing safety concerns as the reason. The Staten Island St. Patrick's Day Parade organizers have been widely criticized for the exclusivity on LGBTQ groups. Miss Staten Island, I thought it said raped. Miss Staten Island repped her rainbow gear from the sidelines regardless of her ban.
That's...
Oh. Wow. Holy fucking!
She's got some titties.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
she has some big old titties, but she also has got a fucking big old face.
Yeah,
look at that fucking schnoozers.
Her face looks like it's changed in the Black Hole Sun video.
Yeah, she's Shannon. You need to figure something out, babe.
No, I'm back on Hinge now. I'm gonna start working on it.
What is that?
Which one's
a dating
Hinge?
App?
It's a dating app.
Yeah, it was at the top of the list in dating apps.
Is that the one that's where people are close to you, like within like a mile?
No, and you set that up. Hinge, like you answer like little questions on the profile, so you're not just seeing pictures. No.
Are you hotter than Miss Staten Island?
Yeah,
I think originally
question.
Hinge was where someone could be walking by in your area, but this is different now. It's almost like a Match.com or a Bumble.
All right.
I don't do
Bumble's pretty much dead, so now everybody's
really
on Hinge
Bumble.
Now.
Yeah.
I can't do any of them. Tinder, Bumble, they all make me feel horrible about myself, and
Yeah, dude, if you liked fat black chicks.
Yeah, if I like fat black chicks, I'd clean up.
Dude, we did a bit years ago. Me, Lewis, and Dave all got Tinders. And Lewis had, dude, fat black women. It was like fucking, it would be like if you went fishing and the fish all just jumped on the boat in that Patrice bit.
Yeah.
It literally just, fat black women were launching themselves at Lewis.
My profile picture was a Popeye chicken sandwich. If I'm being honest. Wasn't fair. They do not, women don't like the way that I look. Once in a while, I will get a fan that knows who I am. And that's every time I match with a hot white chick or even a semi-presentable human, I'm like, they must know who I am. And sure enough, they're like, oh yeah, I know who you are. I had a chick in my inbox the other day that straight up said, do you fuck fans? Said, boy, do I.
Did you answer her?
Yes.
Out of $25 at a time.
I said, boy, do I.
What is your opinion on comics using screenshots of them on TV for dating apps?
I hate it. Yeah. Oh. It's just cheesy. I mean, like, probably.
Like them, like on Conan.
Yeah, it'll probably do you better. Look, if you're on the dating app, you're fishing for pussy, right? So why wouldn't you use the best bait possible?
Yeah, because you got that one shot if that's the first picture.
Yeah, and it's just based off of, it's all this sort of shallow thing, and I think it's kind of cringy, but the reality is if I step back from it, it's not. It's a smarter move. If you're trying to just capture a fucking spread here.
Right.
I can't use it in apps because, to be honest with you, I'm not good at having a conversation via like text with some random person. Like, where do you go? Like, I'm very quickly like, hey, let's hang. Like, I'm not like, I don't want to, like, let's get on the phone, let's talk, let's go hang out. And also, when I'm swiping, every time I'm horny, somebody's beating my dick, right. And then I come, and then I just dead the conversation in the middle of it. I'm like, I don't know, yeah. like gross bitch, I don't want to hang out with you. I just came.
Yeah, I don't want to go meet for coffee.
Yeah, it's psychotic. It's never like a chick, I've never met a chick on a dating app where I'm like, this is fucking, this is great. We're having a great conversation. I'm really into her. No, it all sucks. So at this point, I'm pretty much exclusively, you know, just, you know, going on the road and fucking, I'm single, you know. But, you know, there's no, how couldn't I fuck fans or comedians? That's all that's available to me.
Yeah.
That's all that's available to me.
It's your wheelhouse.
But how, I mean, if you go by sort of the Louis or the Aziz or even the James Franco sort of concept here, right? Where these guys are in a position of power. I am in a position of power with every woman that I sleep with, for the most part. It's very rare that I sleep with a woman that's quote-unquote above me in the industry or, you know, further along than I am.
And usually when you do, we all get a text.
But it's, so, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to just go to the library and fucking just be Clark Kent, not use my superpowers ever?
Yeah, you're also spoiled by your DMs now, though, because you just said going on Tinder, matching with someone, you now you have to have this plastic conversation with them and blah, blah, blah. When you get a DM, it's like, all right.
Well, that one was rare. I rarely get chicks that would just throw it at me like that, be like, hey, do you fuck fans? Yeah. Like, that was like, I was like, wow.
It almost sounds like a setup.
Yeah, it was. No, exactly. I thought it was. I was like, yeah, this is a fucking, point. I'm getting catfish right now. And then she proved
it. Was she hot?
Yeah.
Fat black chick?
No. Mm. No. Hot white chick. Mm. But yeah, it's, I don't know exactly. I wouldn't know how to do it. That's what we should do. We should do a web series where we all just try to go hit on chicks in a park.
Oh.
And just seeing the awkwardness of like, what would you even do? Like, I'm so, you know what I think?
Can we include bail money for me in the fucking budget?
You gotta figure like kings in like the fucking like old times, they all had to have like just massive STDs, right? Like just like herpes and fucking syphilis, like, because they didn't have the medicine to get rid of it back then, right? And they were kings. They could just fuck everybody. They were like just, they could just go into town, like, I'm gonna fuck that that shoemaker's wife because I'm a king and I can just do that. And they would do that. They would exercise that right regularly.
Yeah.
Just show up and be like, as I'm getting my shoes shined by the shoemaker, I'm going to fuck his wife and his daughter. This is great.
Not only that, you'd be like, I'm feeling frisky today. How about a brother and sister?
Dude, being a king ruled.
I'm sorry, because you just said no medicine. I have to bring up another Florentine thing that I love. The fucking penicillin from the pet store.
Oh, yeah.
It's the funniest fucking thing.
What?
Well, this is before I was even doing comedy. I was living with just a couple of guys in a band down in Florida, and we were fucking all these girls. They were in a band, so they would just bring chicks home. I would just get the leftovers.
Yeah.
And I would tell the girls, I'm the one of the roadies. I'm the guitar player, but I'm in another band, whatever. And then we would just, you know, we're like, all right, these girls were so slutty. We'd just go to we're making like $100 a week. So we went to the pet store to get penicillin. So when we got diseases, we just used the pet store penicillin because it was like $3 for like 10 pills.
For fish, right?
Yeah, for fish, because you put it in the fish tank. So instead of going to the doctors, it was like $65 or $75. Yeah, it worked because it was the same penicillin, but they would just use it for the fish tank. So you didn't have to have a prescription to go in there. So we'd go to the pet store all the time and just stock up on the penicillin. It was like $4 or $3 for 10 pills.
That's so funny.
Yeah, just save money because we're like, all right, this girl just fucked like three guys the night before. We just start popping them just in case.
Those are
Florentine invented prep.
I was always fascinated by the comic that got laid on the road and the girl wasn't at the show. To me, that was fascinating. Like he said, he was walking around the mall or he's at some coffee shop and he met her. I'm like, without her seeing you on stage?
Yeah.
So that's a special talent.
It is a special talent because you have.
That's like Godfrey-like.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a good rap.
Yeah, you got to be fucking. I mean, Godfrey's also gorgeous and muscly and fucking, right. You know, charming. And, you know, he's got it all going for him. But, you know, for a guy like me, at this point, it's not even so much that, like, because I was pretty good at getting girls in high school. Even, like, I was a fat guy in high school and I would always date hot chicks, right? I was just like, whatever it was, I just sort of understood very quickly, just go for the hotter chicks and eventually one of them will say yes, right? But I'm so out of practice now. that it's almost, you have to exercise those muscles. You have to sort of like, it's like sales. You have to like, you know, I haven't fucking, you know, been on a real sales call in a while where I'm trying to close on that call and you're bringing them through the triangle and you're going back to the fucking, you know, they give you a rejection, you rebut, you bring it back to the close. You going through those motions, it's awkward. If you're doing that every Friday night and you're like, you know, it's just, it's actually intuitive. We're human beings. We're designed to fuck. We're designed to meet people, be attracted to them, give off signals that we want to have sex, go home, fuck each other, have regrets in the morning. That's all part of the human experience, and it's very, very intuitive. But the problem is we are deconstructing that intuitive nature by doing entertainment and sort of making it kind of easy.
We really should start a breakfast cereal called Regrets. Commercial, the next morning you wake up, regrets?
Yeah. Would you like a big box of I'm Sorry-os?
bowl of I don't remember either.
Look, we're gonna wrap this one up here in just a second, because we have to start a meeting here in a few minutes. Couple things. Number one, big fucking shout out to Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom presents Skankfest happening this March 27th to 29th. YoKratom.com. Go check those guys out. They're supporting Skankfest in such a major way. They've come in as a marquee sponsor, and they outbid everybody that wanted to do this. They really wanted to be a part of this, and we fucking love the support. And they're honestly, they offer great products. If you guys like Kratom products, you're going to love their products. Kurt Metzger loves it. Shannon loves it. So if that's
what
your
thing. What a pedigree.
Yeah, Shannon and Kurt Metzger. I'm sure Miss Staten Island has a really hard Kratom addiction, guaranteed almost. But yeah, go check out your Kratom. Skankfest.net. Grab your tickets right now for all 3 days. All access passes available. Saturday sold out. Sunday just about sold out as well. The Sunday passes are really close. Sunday pass, maybe 10 or 12 Sunday passes left.
And so Sunday's the hot ticket.
Sunday's the ticket. Dude, everyone buy Saturday quickly. Sunday's the one where you just want to fucking buy the single individual day pass. Trust me. There's going to be some crazy shit happening on Sunday. Grab your tickets now. We will check you guys on Friday. We pre-taped, right? Who was on the show?
Dave Temple and Lindsay Jennings.
Lots of fun. Friday show, Dave Temple, Lindsay Jennings. We'll be back then here on the Gas Digital Network. Go check out all the on-demand library. Use the promo code RAP. Get a 14-day free trial for Gas Digital Network. You get Legion of Skanks, Zach and Me, Ghost Midnight Spook Show, The Real Ass Podcast, Believe You Me. 20 incredible shows that the Gas Digital Network has. Over 9,000 hours of live streaming content. There's not a funnier place on the planet to get comedy content. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Suck my dick, eat my balls, lick my ass. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Friday. Peace.
That's all, folks.